headline in the Tribune today. I'm sure many of you saw it, at least somewhere. A FDA advisory panel endorses widespread use of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. Epic vaccination campaign could begin within days. It's coming, Dr. Steve. It's going to be heading its way soon. And I know folks like you in the medical community will be the first to receive it. But we got a ton of questions for you. Are you, how you doing today?
Everything's good, and yes, it is on its way, and I know that some of the associates and some people we even know are set to get vaccinated mid-next week, so, you know, all looks like it's going to happen.
How are they prioritizing it within the healthcare world? Are they, you just
signed up? It's funny, they just built the, where I, you know, where I'm on staff, and they sort of sent out a letter from the president of the staff. And you know, basically, you know, they don't detail exactly how they do it, but they're trying to get all of the true frontline people who are going to be most exposed, COVID patients in the COVID unit, to get it first, and then try to, you know, vaccinate, I think, as much of the staff as possible and as much of the staff that wants it.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because any questions for Dr. Steve, this is your chance, 312-981-7200. Call us, jump in, ask him anything. We can ask you anything, right, Dr. Steve? You'll answer anything.
That's crazy. Listen, if I don't know the answer, I'll be like, I don't know, but I'll look it up and come back with the answer.
You always do. And so it's weird because there are the headlines and there's like the technical stuff and the things we do talk about, you know, when there's a new breakthrough, a new study, new research, stuff like that. Then there's kind of the real life part of it where people are like, wait a minute, what do I do? How do I act? You know, what's the deal? And we had a couple of those even from the last time you were on about people asking questions. Can we go through some of these here? You okay with that?
Yeah, shoot.
All right.
Ask away.
630 had asked, I tested positive for COVID in November, had moderate symptoms. If I'm exposed again to someone who has it, can I transmit it to someone else, even though I myself won't become sick again?
Right. That's a good question. The answer is, it's possible that vaccinated people, as well as her, previously exposed people, may be quote-unquote silent spreaders of the virus, you know, and if in fact that's the case, they'll keep it circulating in the community, putting the unvaccinated or the unexposed at risk. So, you know, the thought is that you'll have conferred some natural immunity by exposure to it, but you can potentially infect other people. And again, the answer to all these questions is, you know, we don't know, right? Because every day new information and stuff. But as we start amassing now more information, as more people get vaccinated, we're going to start answering a lot more of these questions. But I think you still have to be careful.
I want to ask you about my friends who sent me this picture. I just mentioned it on here, but they're in Indiana. They already had COVID recently, and they're out in a bar, and you know, there wasn't a lot of social distancing going on. But they feel comfortable doing that because they've already had it. What would you tell them? Is that okay?
So selfish? Do I say that? I mean, is that sort of what it is? Because yes, I think if you're exposed, right, and you have now developed immunity, that theoretically you're not going to get hammered with this again. But you know, again, are they the silent spreaders of the virus? And you know, there are other people around them and in that bar also, you know, who haven't been exposed. So, you know, it's a bad environment and a bad setup in general, you know, let alone just for themselves. Now, are they themselves safe? Yeah, I mean, presumptively, they should have some natural immunity for at least several months to a year plus, maybe. But still, that's dangerous behavior.
Yeah, I just wonder because I feel like with the COVID fatigue that we talk so much about, that there is also that feeling from folks that, you know, I got it already. But then I actually have other friends whose whole family got it. They have two little kids and the whole family got it. And they're really cautious still about doing anything. I mean, they're just sort of, staying at home, chilling out, doing some outdoor kind of things, getting kids together. But they're not doing more than that. And it's interesting to see how different people react once they've had it and thankfully have recovered from it, you know, because I think if you got it really bad, it's going to haunt you for a long, long time or a family member of somebody like that. Here's another one though. If you've already had COVID-19, should I even get the vaccine? Do I need to?
Okay. That's a very interesting question. So you shouldn't be first in line. Let me start by saying that, you know, that clearly if you've been exposed already, you should have some natural immunity. Like I said, that may last, you know, months to years. So, you know, you shouldn't be first in line. But if you have severe health risks And it's possible that there's reinfection with the virus. So at some point, the answer is there's going to be a subset of that population that absolutely should. Especially ones that really got walloped with COVID and really had a significant course with it. But again, you know, another question where they're temporarily advising sort of yes, but, you know, again, this is an evolving sort of thought process on what to do.
Here's one I haven't heard before. Dr. Steve, what are the ingredients of the vaccine? I don't know if you can go through it all, but can you give us an idea?
Well, no. I think what they're really asking is, in the United States, all the vaccines that are in development are not live virus. In other words, they're not putting in the actual virus that can give patients, you know, the virus. But what happens is they're mostly what's happening, you know, especially with the messenger RNA ones that are under development, they're introducing this quote-unquote spike protein that's found on the surface of the virus. So it trains the immune system to recognize the protein and attack it in case of infection. It sort of puts your cells through like a fellowship program, right? It trains them to kill. It's like an immunity boot camp with the messenger RNA. Very, very cool technology.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's fascinating stuff. And there are two of them. So are they that dramatically different? The two that we know of that are getting FDA emergency approval, I should say, because there could be many more. But are they dramatically different?
No, I think both of the ones that both of them are the messenger RNA technology. However, there are others coming down the pipe. We talked about Johnson & Johnson's coming out several months, probably February. They're going to go to the FDA with their stuff, but that's a one-time dose. So, you know, again, it's evolving. You know, everything's evolving with all this. So, it, you know, not sure.
Okay. My number is 312-981-7200. Got a question for Dr. Steve. Ask away. He will do his best to answer it. Amy, go ahead. You're on WGN. How are you?
Yeah. Hi. My daughter is a nurse, and she's working on the COVID unit, but she's trying to get pregnant. Is she eligible for the vaccine?
She's trying to get pregnant. Should she take the vaccine?
So, you know, if she's imminently trying to get pregnant, that's a good question. Probably not, because if she's looking to get pregnant, the hope is, you know, God willing, she gets pregnant. So, and currently, that's one of the contraindications for giving the vaccine. So, you know, in short, the answer would be no, don't take the vaccine and get pregnant, hopefully, or put the pregnancy off, you know, and take the vaccination because you're working on the front lines. Obviously, a difficult personal decision.
Yeah.
Oh, so she has to wait? How long does she have to wait after she has the baby then, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think they actually know that yet because they haven't tested it yet. In the studies where they did this, this was 16 years old and above, and they, you know, there weren't kids and there weren't pregnant patients, so they don't know yet. This needs to be studied further. So I don't think anybody knows the answer to that question.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck, Amy. I hope your daughter. Thank your daughter too for working
on
the front lines.
Yes.
I hope it all goes well for her.
The hero.
Yes. Tell me about it. Think about the COVID nurses and what they've been through this summer and all of this 9-10 months and what they've done for us. So thank her from all of us here at GN, Amy. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Let's go to Ron. Ron's got a question for Dr. Steve. Go ahead, Ron.
Yes. I have a compromised immune system because I have CLL in my blood. And I read yesterday that if you have a compromised immune system, you're not supposed to take the vaccine. It seems like it's counter to the whole concept of having the vaccine.
Right. I mean, the answer is this is a much more difficult question. And I think, you know, that's going to have to be discussed, obviously, with your oncologist. But you're correct in that you are in that patient population that we want to try to protect. You know, but how compromised your immune system is could potentially affect if, you know, you should get the vaccine at one point versus another.
So would any of the vaccines out there be any better?
It's a good question.
I don't think they know that yet. And, you know, currently there are only going to be, you know, the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, which are essentially pretty close, available. So those are the ones that are going to be available. As the others come out, we'll see. But again, for the most part, we want to try, if your immune system is not so compromised, to try to get as many people vaccinated as possible. But again, like this is sometimes very patient dependent, and some patients might be at pretty great risk for potentially giving the vaccine. So patient by patient basis in that case.
So what would be the results of taking the vaccine if I'm, you know, moderately compromised or not severely compromised? What would happen to me?
I'm sorry, say that last. What did you say, Anna? What was that last thing?
It's not like you can give an EpiPen. Is that what you said, Ron?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, well, that's something different. Now, Ron, what we're talking about with the EpiPen was the vaccination and the anaphylactic reaction that these people had. That, by the way, which we'll talk about in a second, but that's very rare. Mm-hmm. You know, in the other case, they don't, when your immune system is so shot, you don't want to weaken it further and then potentially put people at risk for infections or a super infection while you're trying to get immunity up and going in a patient. So, you know, two different things, but what we're talking about with the EpiPen was these were two nurses in London who had previous reactions, I believe, with vaccinations and had this anaphylactic reaction, which is an extremely, I know it happened twice in one day, but it's extremely rare.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else had made a point on the show, I think on John's show, about how they've given vaccinations in other countries and this hasn't been reported. You know, again, what they're giving in that country, who knows? But, you know, so it's very, very interesting that that actually happens. So, yes, I think if you're super allergic and you've had life-threatening anaphylactic reactions that brought you to the hospital and you needed an EpiPen because you potentially were going to die, should not take the vaccination, for sure.
That's what we're hearing.
And they have food allergies as well.
Ron, I hope that helps. We want to get to some other calls, though. I hope Dr. Steve helped answer your questions there. I need to pause here, right, don't I? Yeah, I'm getting a yes, I do. But then we'll get back to your calls, 312-981-7200. Your questions for Dr. Steve, ask him anything. Dr. Steve Salzman, Green Care Medical, is here answering your questions. Michael, let's hear from you first right out of the gates here. You got a question for Dr. Steve.
Yes, Anna, I've got a question for the doctor. And regarding some of the side effects of taking the vaccine, I've heard about some people have fatigue for a day or so. Now, I'm wondering about the case of somebody like me. I'm in my 70s. I have congestive heart failure, an ejection fraction of 30%. So do I have to be, because with that low ejection fraction, do I have to be concerned about the fatigue that might come on from the vaccine shot?
No, that's a good question. I would tell you get it. You're somebody who should absolutely get it. And you know what? And 30% is not that horrible. Hell, we've operated on plenty of people with ejection fractions to 30%. So, no, listen, I mean, you should get the vaccine. And you know, let me go a little bit more into the weeds in terms of what to expect. The first injection, really they're reporting sort of the soreness, and then it's the booster one, I think, where the majority of people are having these symptoms. These symptoms are fatigue, are headaches, are muscle and joint pain, are sort of fluey and malaise and not feeling well. But absolutely, the risk benefit in your case, far, far on the benefit side.
Oh, that's good to hear. Thanks.
It is good to hear. Thank you, Michael. Good luck with that. I hope you'll be offered it soon if you want to take it. Let's go to Grace. Grace, you're on WGN. You got a question for Dr. Steve Salzman.
Taking my call. I'm 72, and I'm the kind of person who always has side effects, reactions. Would it be better if I did the Moderna versus the Pfizer vaccine?
I don't think they know that answer yet. Can I ask you a question back? Real quickly, I know we don't have tons of time, but when you say, like, you've had reactions, give me the worst reaction you had. Is that, like, you needed an EpiPen or you needed to go to the hospital or you were losing your airway? Are we talking about that?
No, when I had to take gabapentin for pain, I had the worst nightmares. I thought I was going to die in my dreams, and they went on and on until I finally read the side effects thing, and it said nightmares as a side effect. And I'm a recovering addict alcoholic with 22 years of sobriety, so I tend to have a sensitivity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me be honest. If you were my mom, I would tell you, Mom, get it. Because, you know, I think that if you don't have a very severe allergy, if you're not carrying around an EpiPen, your age, your prior risk factors, you're somebody who needs to be protected. You are in that group. Line up and take it. If I was your doctor, come to Green Care Medical. But yeah, you know, hey, talk to your doctor. But I'm telling you, you're somebody who should take it. My gut feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, then I will. The Pfizer, it doesn't matter which one comes my way.
No, you know what? It's going to either be, depending on when you finally get it, it's either going to be more than likely the Pfizer or the Moderna, but you have to take the same one. So if it's one with Pfizer, then it's the second with Pfizer. If it's one with Moderna, it's the other with Moderna.
You stay with the same one. All right.
I got it. Okay.
Thank you, Grace. All have right, a good weekend, okay? Let's hear from Bob here on WGN. Bob's got a question. I think we've actually got several texts on the same question. So go ahead, Bob. Shoot.
Okay. I want to know that, okay, you take the injection from Pfizer, and you have to wait 3 weeks to take the second one, correct?
That's correct, yeah, within 21, 28 days, yep.
All right, if you can't get the second one, can you take an injection from one of the other companies to complete it?
No, I mean, I don't know the exact answer, but that is not. They are saying that if you are getting the first one with the Pfizer, that you must get the second one. And let me tell everybody, do not just get one. Because when they looked at your level of immunity, right, it was about 52% after the first dose. And you know, they don't know how long it lasted. You know why? Because everyone received the second dose in that trial within 3 weeks after. So there's no evidence of protection lasting longer than a few weeks after that first dose. So, you know, and again, there's no data also on how long the vaccine will be protective going forward. But that being said, no, you do not miss the second dose. You go for the first dose, you go for the second one. You can't play games with this. This is not missing it because you have other appointments. You got to make this life and death. I'm not yelling at you. I love you.
Get them both, Bob, and stick to the same one.
I just wanted to make sure that if you're not able to get the second injection from Pfizer, you cannot mix them with the other two, companies.
My understanding is you cannot do that. You stick with the company.
Right. Okay.
Thank you,
you
Bob.
You answer my question. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, Bob. Thank you for listening. I think we can sneak Ann in here real quick. Go ahead, Ann. You're on WGN. Got a question for Dr. Steve.
I do. Hi. My name is Ann. I have some young adults in my life. And one of the things that concerns me that I've read about is fertility and possible sterilization as a result of this vaccine. There's a Pfizer former researcher person that says this hasn't been researched enough and that it could be a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I don't think they know the answer to that. You know, there's always a lot of conjecture around this might have happened and that might have happened, you know, or every single side effect that's ever been done by a drug that they study, they have to list. I would not, you know, again, gun to my head, and if you're my sister, I would say take the vaccine because it's Russian roulette, right? You might be totally fine, but what if you're the one 30-year-old, you know, who gets clobbered with COVID and now you're on a vent and now, you know, you're potentially dying? Like, there's a risk benefit that everybody has to evaluate, right? But most of the people, when really asking hard truth, way on the benefit side. For most of the people calling in, and more than likely most of the people in the audience, it is far more on the benefit side.
Yeah. We had to let and go there because there's a lot of feedback on her line, but you're right. There's so much more research that's coming out on that very issue, and there will be as this rolls out. Dr. Steve, we have so many more questions for you, and I hope you can come back next week and answer some more of them because they're piling up here.
Send it to our Instagram. I'm sharing my Instagram with you now, Adam.
You're one of the cool kids. You're cool kids now. You're on Insta. Okay, so great. Okay. We'll reach out. Remind us your handle again or how we find you.
Yeah. Contact me on the gram. Check it out. Ooh, it just sounds so weird when I say it. It's Dr. Saldman, Dr. Saldman. And everybody stay safe. I didn't yell at anybody today. I love everybody.
No, you didn't. You're very loving mood. I like it. All right. Well, we'll hear you yell maybe next week. So thank you, Dr. Steve. Have a good weekend, okay?
Everybody stay healthy. Bye.